Hello everyone. Good morning. This morning we're going to look at the theme of Advent. So very topical, obviously. Clive introduced us to it last week with the Advent calendar, and then we did a little bit more of it this morning with Jeff. And we've been doing our Advent calendars at home, uniting with the four children. We actually have the novelty this year of someone giving us a Lego. Lego Advent calendar, nothing to do at all with Christmas. It's just you just get a different piece of Lego every day. But we've also been doing the more traditional Advent calendar as well. And you'll be aware that Advent is the period leading up to Christmas, the 4 weeks typically leading up to Christmas Day. And Advent is a tradition. There's nothing really in the Bible that tells us that we should have this period or commands us to have this specific period of set aside before Christmas. But I hope that it'll be useful for us this morning just to take some time to think about what the significance of these few weeks that we're in the middle of. You know, what is it all about? And you know, how can we reflect on this period? And Advent comes from the word Adventus, a Latin word, which means arrival. And traditionally, it's a time of reflection. A time of reflection about Jesus. About Jesus' coming. A time of prayer and a time of action before Christmas time. And more recently, it's become symbolised by chocolate coming out of Advent calendars. And I expect the majority of people, as they open their Advent calendars and the chocolate comes out, they don't really give much thought as to what Advent is, what it's all about. I don't know about you, but this period of time, it means different things to different people. The Christmas period for most is a period of joy. You know, we look forward to it with happiness. There are some fun times to be had, whether that be time with family or friends, or whether it's time of parties with work colleagues or whatever it might be. People quite often get together at Christmas you haven't seen for a long period of time. There's lots of food, festive food and drinks. Maybe a little nap after too much turkey on Christmas Day. We don't typically get too many of those naps in our house, but some of you might be looking forward to a nice relaxing day. But for others, it's quite a busy time, and for others, quite a stressful time, with a long list of things that need to be done or presents that need to be bought. Sometimes the joy goes out of it. You know, thinking about, well, what is it that I need to get for, what can I get for my wife? That still hasn't happened with two Saturdays to go. And that probably won't happen for a few days to go before Christmas. Or, you know, what should we get for the children? Or I need to organise this. Or, oh, we've got people coming over here. I need to get this ready. When are we going to do the Christmas shopping? When are we going to buy this or buy that? And it can be a stressful or a busy time. And for some, it can be a time that's quite honestly quite sad. We remember people that, you know, husbands or wives or fathers or mothers who have passed away. And it can be a time tinged with sadness. We miss people, or we might have to deal with those relatives that unfortunately we do have to see at Christmas time. And there are family tensions that we need to deal with and to juggle. And so Christmas, this Advent period, might be a mixture of all those things. You know, on one hand, happiness and joy. And other times, kind of like, you know, it's Christmas and we've got to get all this busyness and all this thing over and done with. But I'd like us to think this morning, I'd like us to put a lot of that aside. A lot of the things that we need to do, and to think about the arrival of Jesus Christ. And over the coming weeks, we'll hear all about the story of Jesus Christ. We've heard about it a little bit this morning. For those of you who are coming next week, we're going to have the nativity play, and we'll have Mary and Joseph, we'll have the sheep, we'll have some stars. I think this year we've got princesses instead of kings. You know, we'll probably have a donkey, whatever we'll have. Then we'll have the Christmas story next week. And this morning I'm not going to look at what happened in the lead up to Christmas. But I'd like you to spend a few minutes on why. Why did Jesus come? And as we consider these things, I'd like us to think about, well, what is our reaction to those things? Because the danger for us around this period is that we think, well, I'm so familiar with this story. I've heard it all before. I could tell it to you backwards. And my intention here this morning is not to tell you anything new. You've all heard this story before. I'm not going to try and uncover something new that you've never talked about or never heard about before about the Christmas story. But I would love it if we can recapture some of the wonder. Some of the wonder about what it is that happened to us. And that can motivate us then to action. And remember that this first Advent, this Advent time when Jesus came, it wasn't just some series of random events that took place. Some 700 years before, Micah, who is one of the prophets in the Bible, in the Old Testament, some 700 years before, it said that the Messiah would be born. And it said where he would be born and what he would do. But you, Bethlehem. So he says where he was born. He's going to be born in Bethlehem. One will come who will be ruler over Israel. He told us what he will do. He will rule over Israel. Another prophet, Isaiah, some other 700 years, about the same time as Micah, he said how he would be born and what he would be called. He'd be born of a virgin. And he will give birth to a son, and we will call him Emmanuel. And then Jeremiah, some 600 years ago, he said it would fulfill a promise. He said what family he would come from. And he said he would be a saviour. And those are the words you read earlier, that Rita read. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the good promise. And in those days and at that time I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. He'll come from David's family. And this is the name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteous. What will he be? He'll be a saviour. And so 600 or 700 years before, we were told that the Messiah would be born. We're told what he will do. He will rule over Israel. We're told how he would be born, through a virgin. We're told his name. He'll be called Emmanuel. We'll be told that he will fulfill a promise. We're told what family he'll come from. And we're told he would be a saviour. So these weren't random events. These were planned by God, prophesied or spoken about hundreds of years before. And sometimes we think about those prophecies and we think, okay, that's fine. But imagine if Henry V, he came back to England after defeating the French. I didn't tell my wife about this, but defeating the French in the Battle of Agincourt. And imagine he came back in the 1400s, I had to look that up, I'm not very good at history, that there would be a couple, and they would have a baby. And it'll be the Frost family. They will have a girl. They will call her Rosie. Okay? And when she grows up, she's going to be a doctor one day. And she'll fulfill a promise from thousands of years before. And sometimes we read those Old Testament prophecies and we think, oh, okay, that's fine. But when we put it into our modern history, that is like Henry V saying exactly what will be happening in Rosie's life here in Cardiff. And so this Advent period, it wasn't something that was random, that Mary and Joseph were together, and you know, and Jesus would be born of a virgin. There's a purpose behind it. There's going to be the saviour of the world, and this is good news. This is good news that should be sinking into our hearts. And as we're believers here this morning, we mustn't lose the wonder of what happened. And if you're not a believer here this morning, you're hearing this for the first time. Hundreds of years before, we were told that this Advent period would happen, that Jesus would come and he would be a saviour. But Christmas isn't just about thinking about these things and enjoying the carols. The familiarity of the carols and thinking about Jesus' birth. Yes, that's important. It's wonderful. But it's not just all about what Christmas is about. And let me illustrate to you what Christmas or Advent is like for many of us. And I've got my bag. Not very good at visual aids, but here we are. So, for many of you, imagine this after Christmas. Okay, this day after Christmas or just after Christmas. And this is my bin. Okay. Now then, first of all, what have I got in my bin? I've got my to-do list. Sadly, this morning, this is a real to-do list. And this is what it's like after Christmas with all these ticks. And I can tell you about three of these already been done. So this is my agenda for the next two weeks. But very busy time it's going to be before Christmas. And then we'll have our party hats. I'm sure, you know, you will have had all these things. Christmas cards. So these are Christmas cards that the children will have done. The Christmas cards from one child to another in school. They see each other every single day, but they still will be giving cards to each other. So that will probably be in my bin after Christmas. And only 2 out of 10, apparently, Christmas cards have anything to do with Jesus on them. We have all sorts. We have snow. It never snows. We've got robins, presents, whatever it might be. The Christmas, this is more Julie's territory, but we'll have the Christmas decorations up. You know, these will be coming out. Well, these will be in the bin, I'm sure, after Christmas. We've got more things in the Christmas tree. There'll be a tangerine. If anyone could tell me why we have tangerines in stockings. I did Google it, but if anyone knows, tell me afterwards. There'll be a tangerine in there. There'll probably be some alcohol. A good or a bad thing at Christmas time. Enjoyable, but also the cause of much misery over Christmas time. There'll probably be some mince pies, but John's eaten them all, and I expect there's probably some mince pies still up in the loft for John to finish. And then there's this toy that Nora gave to the children. The children love. I hate. So this normally ends up in the bin by the end of Christmas, or the batteries get lost. But this is the highlight of Christmas for many of the children. And so you get a gist of what Christmas will be like for all of us. But all these things, they'll end up in the bin, or someone will be disappointed. I know Teo is going to be disappointed at Christmas. He wants a pet. And he wants a pet, and he's been asking for a pet for the last 2 months. It's gone from a dog, which I would love, but we're not going to have a dog at the moment, to a rabbit, to guinea pigs. Thank you, Nicola. Guinea pigs, to fish. We've had a unicorn. And yesterday was a horse. So Teo is going to be disappointed at Christmas, come what may. And sometimes there's an element of disappointment at Christmas. But lastly, there's quite often one thing that just gets left behind. And it's a present that's quite often never opened. And let me ask you a question. Do any of you plan on giving this gift to anyone over Christmas? The majority of us here have received this gift. We've received it to the point that we have Jesus living in our hearts. And the Bible tells us that. If we trust and believe in Jesus, then we have Jesus, the Holy Spirit, living in our hearts. And the most amazing thing about Advent is we have the time to stop, to think, to reflect, to give thanks for this gift that we have given us. But it's also an opportunity for us to give the gift of Jesus Christ to others. And this period of Advent is no different to any other time. But it does provide us a glorious opportunity to tell people the meaning of Christmas. And all these other things will be part of most of our Christmases at some point or another. But we have the opportunity to tell people the real story of Christmas. Not only what happened. Most people through their school or through their lives, we'll understand what happened. But we have the opportunity to tell people why it happened. To tell our friends, or to tell our colleagues, or to tell our families the amazing truth that Almighty God came to be with us. And he came as a baby, and his name was Jesus. And why did he do that? Well, he came to save us. The angel announced it. A Saviour has been born to you. He is the Lord. And what are we saved from? Well, he came to make peace and reconciliation through himself. And if we are believers, each one of us here are called to give the good news of the work that God has done in our lives, to give it to others. Yet this present, why is it so hard to give to other people? Why is it that it quite often gets left in the bin? And we can all be guilty of it. It's the best news in the whole world. And yet we can quite often shy away from giving it. And there might be different reasons, each of us are different, why we don't share the gospel. It could be that we feel we don't get the opportunities or the chance to tell people, and that's quite often true. People don't ask me at work, well, what is it that you believe about Christmas? And that's often because we're not part of people's lives. And we maybe don't spend enough time with our colleagues or our non-Christian friends, and then we're not available or ready to listen to them. And even if we want to tell people, sometimes we don't. We shy away from it. And sometimes I ask myself that question a lot. You know, I want to tell people about the gospel, but I rarely do so outside the confines of these four walls. And it struck me more and more recently, are we really praying for opportunities to tell people the gospel, to give them this gift? Are we praying for people that we can have opportunities to tell them the gospel at this Advent time or any other time for that matter? Are we taking risks for the gospel? Are we telling the name of Jesus to our friends and colleagues? Or are we happy just to let them know that we go to church on a Sunday? And when we have the opportunity, we should be able to tell our own story of God's work in our life. Not in some abstract terms, but telling them the gospel that is appropriate in the situation that they are in. And Christmas time is an ideal time for us to do that. It may be that less and less people understand the real meaning of Christmas, but most people have heard of the shepherds. Most people have heard of the stable, or the wise men, or seen nativity scenes. But we have the opportunity to tell people about Jesus in so many different ways. And sometimes the best way is simply asking questions of our friends or our family. What is it you look forward to about Christmas? Or we may ask them, how do you celebrate Christmas? Or why do you celebrate Christmas? What's the most important thing for you around this Christmas time? You might get a whole raft of different answers. Oh, I love spending time with family. Or it's traditional. Everyone does it. I love it. I love giving presents. I love receiving presents. It could be all sorts of conversations you could have around that. But we ask questions. And then no doubt we'll have the opportunity to tell them about Jesus, about why we celebrate Christmas. Not just what happened, but why. Why is it that so often we see Xmas written everywhere and Christ taken out of Christmas? That could be a reflection we could have, or through the carols in the shops, or the Christmas cards we send, the invites to the carol service that we could bring people. There are opportunities all around us to tell people about the gospel. Or it could be our friends. Some are struggling with a sense of purpose in their lives. And we could show them that there is a person who came at Christmas time, and we remember that person. Their name is Jesus Christ. And why did he come? Well, he came to give new and abundant life. Someone who's struggling with purpose in their life. Well, we know someone who can give new life, an abundant life. Or one of our friends may be struggling with their own weakness or their own self-worth. Well, we can tell them and we can show them, well, if you trust in this Jesus, the one who is in the Bible, well, he instills in us the power to overcome loneliness. He instills in us the power to overcome stress or that we don't have the same fear of the future. Or maybe we've got friends who feel so far away from God. They feel a million miles away from God. They think, well, God would never accept me. Think of all the wrong things that I have done in my life. Well, you can tell them that's perfectly normal. Because that was the same for me. We are all alienated from God. And Romans chapter 3 tells us that. Romans chapter 6 tells us that. And you can share the story about how you too were alienated from God. But at this Christmas time, God provided the solution through Jesus Christ. And why? Because he's going to save you. He saves you from all those wrong things. And we have good news to give this Christmas. And we should be mentioning the name of Jesus. We shouldn't be just talking about God or talking about church or I enjoy the carols or this, that and the other. Let's talk about Jesus. Because there is power in the name of Jesus. Do we believe that? Do we believe that there is power in the name of Jesus? Because in Acts chapter 4 it tells us there is salvation in no one else. There is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And in John chapter 14, and Jesus says, I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So let's invite people. Let's tell people about the name of Jesus. God uses this gospel through your mouths. And unless we are talking about Jesus, then how do we expect people to know about Jesus? Let's use this Advent time to open our mouths to tell people about Jesus. And as I said, this is all about the first Advent when Jesus came, but there will be a second Advent. For those of you who've been here regularly, who've been looking at the book of Revelation, which talks a lot about these end times, and Revelation and elsewhere in the Bible, it tells us that Jesus didn't come once as a saviour. We are told he will come again. And the reason that he will come again is clear in the Bible. It tells us Jesus will come as judge and he will come as king. And it tells us that sin will be punished and it will be seen to be punished. And he will come as king and he will reign forever. And he will bring those who believe in him to live in a new creation. And this second advent, this second coming, it will mean different things for different people. Some people will be able to stand confident before Jesus and say, I know I have a saviour. I don't fear any condemnation. Confident that I won't be blamed for all the wrong things I have done. Because we know, and we can say, when we meet Jesus a second time, we can say, I don't need to fear condemnation because Jesus came into the world to condemn, not to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already. And for those of us who are believers, we can stand before Jesus in that second coming, and we can have hope, and we can trust, and we can know that one day we will have glorified images, the same as we will be glorified images of God. We shall be completely and finally like him, including our bodies. But those who are not believers, there may be some of you here this morning. The Bible is clear. There is no middle ground. The Bible talks in picture language. It says, well, there'll be sheep over this side and there'll be goats over this side. There'll be a separation. Or the Bible says, there'll be some who are inside the wedding banquet and some who are left outside. And whether we're a believer in Jesus Christ or not, we'll be confident or we'll be ashamed. The consequences if we are left outside is one of eternal punishment. The Bible talks of hell, and it talks that there will be a separation. And if you're not here a believer this morning, then the Bible urges us, and let's use this Christmas time to think and to reflect and make a decision. Am I in the kingdom? Am I in? Am I saved? Or am I not? And for those of us who are believers, that should motivate us. Motivate us to take this gift and trust that there is power in the name of Jesus. And I remember when I was younger, it's always stayed with me. A preacher used an illustration of someone who was in hell. And it's not a nice picture. And he was looking up to heaven. And he was in agony. He was looking at his friends and his family who were believers. And he was saying to them, why didn't you ever tell me? Why didn't you ever give me this gift? You had the greatest gift in your hand. And yet you never gave it to me. You never told me about who Jesus was. You never spent time urging me, telling me about Jesus. And let that not be our experience this Advent time. Let's use these next few weeks to think about, to reflect on what the wonderful gift God has given us this Christmas. But let's pass it on. Let's give this gift to those who we know. And I'd like for each of us, just in silence in the end, to think of three people that don't know Jesus Christ. They could be your neighbours, it could be your family, it could be your friends, it could be your colleagues, whoever it might be. And let's just spend a moment to pray for them by name. And then ask that God will help you this Christmas time to give them the gift, the courage maybe, to give them the gift of Jesus, to tell them and use the name of Jesus. And then you might pray for them every single day. And pray that God will be working in their hearts too, that they might be able to receive the gift that you are going to give them. That God might be glorified in doing so. And if you're not here, a believer here this morning, then I pray that you would accept this gift. If you'd like to know more about what this gift, what Jesus is and who he is and why he came, then come and see one of us and we'll be happy to tell you. But before I close in prayer, let's just spend a few moments in silence thinking about those three people and pray for them by name. Lord God, it's an opportunity at this time for us to stop, to think and to reflect on the wonder that at this time we can remember that you sent your own Son, the God himself, God-man, Jesus Christ, to be born among us. Oh Lord God, let us be struck with the wonder of that again. And help us, Lord God, we need your help to tell other people about Jesus. Oh Lord God, if everyone here has prayed, there could be about another 80 people, 100 people this morning that will hear the gospel, hear about Jesus this Christmas. And we pray, Lord God, that as Jesus is talked about, that the power in your name might be evident in people's lives, Lord, here in Cardiff, or family members, wherever they may be. That, Lord God, that people might hear the good news. And that, Lord God, that you might be glorified this Advent time, this Christmas time, that we will see the joy and the meaning that comes through knowing and loving and being saved by Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen.